Hello, 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 and welcome to the Drag Race All-Stars Season 8, Episode 5 recap here on Reality TV Show Wrap-Ups. I'm one of your two hosts for today, Beth Dixon, and joining me as always is Aman Adwin. Aman, how are you doing?
Hi, I'm good. Yes, no Liana this week. She's busy doing, I forget what she's doing.
She's traveling.
Lady,
she's
lady in science things. Oh, okay. She's
doing... not even in science this week. She's she's in Colorado, I think, visiting home.
Oh, that's right.
I think she was like, I saw her tweet out that she was wondering if flare jeans are still in. And I have to say, yeah, they are.
I think they're definitely making a comeback. I've seen them around a bit. Yeah.
Yeah, her parents were trying to get her to get rid of clothes. Like, you don't get rid of the flare jeans. Come on. Those are vintage. Those are hot now.
Yeah. I was thinking about wearing some kind of flare sparkly pant to Beyonce. So, yeah, they're definitely in. Because I'm wearing them. Therefore, they're in.
They're in. Aman Adwin said, yes. So we're wearing them. Oh, my gosh. That could have been a great Mean Girls moment. It's like, I saw Aman Adwin wear flare pants at Beyonce's concert. So I wore flare pants.
At Beyonce's concert.
Lovely. Well, Aman, happy Pride. We're officially in June.
Yes, happy Pride. Philly Pride was yesterday as of the recording of this show. Mm-hmm. I did unfortunately have the mishap of getting my phone stolen. Oh, that's not fair. It might not have been. Well, no, it is stolen because whoever has it knows that it's not theirs and they're not mm-hmm. making any effort to return it. So at this point, yes, it is a stolen phone.
Yeah.
But, you know, I did take care of it. I am getting a new one. But Pride was beautiful. I always get like, not to get like a little bit too negative, but I always get just a little anxious about being in large spaces, especially when it's, you know, a queer festival or something for people of color or Black people in particular. I'm always just like, is someone going to be hateful today and try to do some shit? And thankfully, everything went smoothly. It was a good time. Everyone was just, you know, beautiful and queer and straight and lovely and love is love and all that. So I think I might go to DC next weekend for their pride too. So
that would be fun.
I think I'm gonna just be super, super gay. I'm gonna do all the prides. I'm gonna do Philly, DC, New York.
Come on. Yeah, let's meet up in New York. Let's do it together.
Yes, let's do it.
That'd be great. Yes. And while you were celebrating Pride, I was working my university's college reunion, which is a fun 5 days where I work like 13 hours a day and stand constantly. So I'm very, very tired, which is also why we're recording on a Monday where we normally you're getting this podcast on a Monday. So we apologize for the delay, but a lot of it had to do with work schedules and mostly queer schedules. So yeah,
let's we were being that. Queer. Okay.
Yeah. We were busy being queer. So I love that. All right. So in this episode, I feel like there's only one big story to talk about. Aman.
Yeah.
We had to say goodbye to Heidi, but not because she was eliminated.
Ooh. Yeah. The tradition of someone quitting All Stars continues with Heidi in Closet. This probably is the one that probably hurts me the most out of the three. I was sad to see Adora go. But I also felt like I was a newer fan of Drag Race back then. So I felt like I didn't have as long of a relationship with Adore Delano as a fan that other fans did. So it was sad to see her go, but I was like, oh, that sucks, but okay.
That's how I felt too, because All Stars 2 was my first season. So I was like, I don't know who this is. And then I watched season 6 and I was like, oh, that hurts more now. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And then Ben de la Creme, like that one just sort of annoyed me the most. And I actually tweeted about her early this week. Well, it was like, someone had one of those Drag Race opinion has you fighting against everyone else.
Oh, yeah.
And mine was Ben de la Creme should not have been allowed to come back and quit. Once you quit, you're done. There's no returning to the game. You're done. But
she should not have been able to vote.
Yeah. People still have varying opinions about it. Some people are like, why not? Like, she eliminated herself in the same context that the other queens got eliminated. I'm like, not really, because the other queens didn't send themselves home. She sent herself home. So why is she coming back. But
she literally created her own lipstick because her it's not like you can vote out anybody. It's not Survivor. It's Big Brother. There's a certain set of nominees. Not everybody's up for elimination unless you have immunity kind of thing. So, yeah, I agree with that. And then I think it's interesting that what we see this time is that Heidi is not a participant in the Fame Games because she quit. So actually, Heidi is basically following what we all who believe that Ben should not have come back. I'm in your camp with that. That is the consequence of it now. So on the one hand, I like to see it. But on the other hand, I'm like, now it makes a little bit more sense. I don't know if you saw this, but as soon as the first episode was over and Monica Beverly Hills had been eliminated, Heidi was like, I don't care what the order of the boot order is. I want everybody to vote for Monica for the Fame Games. And that's when everybody started being like, so you're either a finalist or something's going on with you. And so that's when I saw some sus come to the front. So those people were right. There was something going on.
Well, I mean, do we just get right into it?
Yeah, like, let's get right into it. Let's do it.
I am. Screw Candy Muse. And I say everything with love. I'm not actually saying screw Candy Muse, but I am annoyed with Candy and I am annoyed with Alexis Michelle as well. I understand why they're doing what they're doing in a sense. Cause like the Big Brother part of me is like, okay, well, I'm not going to admit to wanting you out. Like that's why would I do that? That's, career suicide in this game.
Right.
But I guess just the end result of it just makes me sad. Alexis in particular, because you switched it up. Like you clearly said, yes, you did say that, Candy. And then when Candy gets all heated about it, then you want to switch your tune. It's like, so which is it? So I feel a little kind of ways about it. It just sucks.
I also think it's really interesting. I watched a TikTok about this and I apologize. I don't have the user's name. But if anybody else has seen this and you have the user's name, please put it in the comments because I would love to give them a proper shout out on social media. But somebody put together and said, honestly, this was just a whole bunch of like people not respecting that literally everybody in that situation had a valid point of view. And I don't think in any capacity, anybody was trying to be malicious. I think you could make a case potentially for Alexis. But the thing with Alexis is like, Heidi brought her in without like Alexis chirping up. Like she didn't put herself in there to be like, oh yeah, by the way, girl, I heard that. And then she changed her tune. Heidi literally was like, Alexis, you were there. And like,
yeah, that was kind of a plot twist. I didn't even know because Alexis's name wasn't even in this at all. So it was like, all of a sudden, Heidi's like, Alexis? We should become a meme now. That was so funny. Alexis.
Yeah, exactly. And I really think that I think we've all been in situations where we've been called out when like as a neutral person who has nothing to do with the drama and have like looked for like where's the closest emergency exit.
I just want to be like Switzerland, right? Like, yeah, screw that.
And I want to put out there that we already know that Alexis Michelle is really good at self-producing for the show. So like, there's the one part of me that really thinks, is this like legitimate where she was like, Candy, yes, you did say that. And then once the, you know, Candy has a very vibrant and passionate personality when she is upset, which we've seen plenty of times in season 13. And I do think that this is a moment where Alexis does not want to be in the receiving end of that, especially when this is not her drama. So like, I don't kind of blame her for trying to be like switching it up or whatever, but if you're gonna say yes to something, back it up.
Right.
So I don't know. I really don't think that was malicious. I think that was more like, ooh, I don't really know what to say because whatever I say could eventually send me home in this, you know?
I kind of just wish that it's kind of hard to, and that perspective is valid, and you're making me feel a little bit less venom towards Alexis. Because at first I was like, "Really, girl? Like, come on!" So, but being called out, like she was like a deer in headlights at that point. So it was kind of like I just wish that she would have just been like, "I'm not saying anything. I'm like Switzerland. Like, don't involve. This ain't got nothing to do with me. That y'all figure that out." If she had done that, I feel like that would have went a much longer way.
Yeah.
And for the record, I don't think anybody doesn't believe Heidi here. Like, Heidi doesn't have any reason to
why
lie.
Why would she lie?
Why would she lie? And then why would she, when she said, because the minute that Candy was like, did you go to Jimbo and say that I was going to get her out? And Heidi says, yes. And she's like, why would you tell her that? And Heidi says, because you did. Like, whenever someone says it, I know that they're the one that's telling the truth. Because, like,
yeah,
it's like there's like a finality in that tone. It's just like, mm-hmm. we're not doing this. You did say that, and that's all I can say. So she said that shit.
Here's the other tea, right? Okay. Heidi is also acutely aware that Jimbo is absolutely crushing the competition right now, and Candy mm-hmm. has not gotten a win yet. So if I'm doing the math, and these two are supposed to be in an alliance, and you are trying to do what you can to be a good sister to one of them, I'm going to be a good sister to the person who might save me because they're going to win. Now, granted, they're yeah. probably not going to win a lip sync if it's Jimbo, which we'll get to as well. But I do think, like, I think there's probably a part of Heidi that was playing a little bit of the game there. And I don't for sure. blame her for that. And I think that Candy has every right to confront her. And I think that Jimbo has every right to defend Heidi, but like not be like malicious towards Candy because like she is doing well in the competition. Mm-hmm. Which brings us to Kahana.
I forgot about
her. Who starts all of this and then everybody just forgets about it.
Yeah.
So Kahana is actually the one that kind of starts this like what must have felt like dogpiling on Heidi, but I really don't think anybody intended it for like it to be like that. Where in the middle of the snatch game, and we will get back, we will talk about the snatch game, we'll talk about the workroom, we'll talk about the looks, we'll talk about that. But this is like, come on, you guys are tuning in for this. Let's be 1,000% on that. Yeah. I really think that Heidi was just playing the snatch game the way you play the snatch game, which mm-hmm. is like, I'm sorry. Every person who's ever won, Bianca Del Rio, Jinx Monsoon, Sharon Needles, like all these people who've won Snatch Game have literally, actually, I guess Sharon Needles didn't win Snatch Game. That was Cher, but Cher, or not Cher. That wasn't actually Cher. It was Chad Michaels. Wow, Beth. But they all have a moment where they're like calling out the buffoonery that's happening. And they're like, yes. while they're in character. And I think that Kahana felt more betrayed rather than be like, I don't know, like, I don't think that she had the ability because of how in her feelings she was to think like, oh, I don't think that Heidi was doing this maliciously. I think right. that she really thought that Heidi was trying to get in her head. And I think that's a valid position to have. But I don't think anybody in that room besides Kahana felt that way.
Yeah.
Until people start kind of bringing up a little bit more stuff for Heidi. But what are your thoughts? Like this whole Kahana Heidi situation and how it evolves. Like,
I feel like I agree with you. I think that Heidi was doing what we've seen countless other queens do. They talk shit about each other. They volley. They, you know, trash talk. It's just the name of the game. It's sort of yeah. like the reading challenge. Like, it's just you're going to get roasted a little bit. Like, that's just what yeah. happens in drag. And I love that Mistress Isabel Brooks like really was like the poster child for that last season. She's like, look, like I'm a drag queen. Like, I'm going to say some things. I'm going to be a little shady. I'm going to give you a little ha ha, little kiki. And that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to ha ha and you're supposed to kiki. It's not supposed to be. It's just like, as Kennedy Davenport just says, it's not that serious. It's just drag.
It's
like,
just drag.
We don't have to make it this thing. So I think, yeah, Heidi was just trying to have a little moment. I do think I can understand where Kahana was coming from because she knew that totally. It was already. This wasn't like a big narrative of the season for Kahana is that like acting and this improv stuff is like not her strong suit. She likes to dance. She's a performer. That's her thing. So I think that I think it was her own insecurities that really mm-hmm. made her feel like she was being attacked when in reality you're in the snatch game competing. Like that's all that it is. I think maybe if more queens had been doing it to one another, then maybe she wouldn't have felt as drawn. I don't know, the way that it was edited, they really honed in on all of Heidi's yeah. attacks on Kahana, and there damn well probably were others, but the Heidi stuff was, I guess, what they wanted to focus on. So, I mean, I honor Kahana's feelings, but come on, it's Heidi. Like, we know Heidi is not that person. Like, she's never given us yeah. any reason to assume that she is this vindictive person. And she won Miss Congeniality, for goodness sake. Like, that's not Heidi. Come
at
on
a
now.
Time when it wasn't a fan vote, too, when it was the cast that voted.
Right. So,
and I think that that's a really big part of this, right? I think that Kahana really sees a sister in Heidi. And I would understand if somebody who you're really close to in the competition was the one that was shading you the most during a challenge you're not comfortable with. Mm-hmm. I absolutely understand that feeling. But at a certain point, you got to recognize what show you're on and what industry you're in. Yeah. I say that as somebody who has not been on reality TV nor a drag artist. So take mm-hmm. that with what you will. But I don't know. I definitely felt for Kahana. I thought that Heidi responded in a very good way, which was like, mm-hmm. I'm so sorry I made you feel that way. That is absolutely not how I intended it to be. I was just yep. playing the game. I hope you know that I think that you're so talented and amazing. And I think that she really apologized the way you should, which is that I'm sorry I hurt you. That's not mm-hmm. what my intention was. And right when that is simmering down and people are kind of coming to an agreement and a little bit of peace, Ms. Muse making mm-hmm. their season 8 of All Stars drama debut.
Yeah.
So, and then we now have the whole situation going down.
Yeah. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
I'm just like, I'm sad. Like as the whole thing went down, I got really, really sad. A piece of me still thinks, Heidi, as much as I'm feeling for you and as much as I honor what you're going through, a piece of me was like, don't run away. You know what I mean? Like, don't. Quitting is not the answer. I think we all know that quitting is not the answer. If you're having like a moment of like, I think she had an emotional, well, she was already having moments here in the conversation. I feel like just mentally, she just wasn't all the way there this year. Like she, you know, a couple episodes ago, we saw in the Untucked that she was talking about being ready to go and just feeling that she was not being seen by the judges. So this was already festering. I think this was just the thing that like put her over.
Yeah.
I do wish that she had just stopped and taken a moment to just finish out the episode, at least. That's what that's what I would say. Like, you're in your feelings right now. You're getting called out for playing the game, and it's getting to you. So, I think that she's telling the truth when she's like, I think that she can admit to herself, yeah, but maybe I was playing the game, but at the same time, it's still making the game is still making me feel like I need to hurt people and backstab, mm-hmm. and I don't like that, and I just want to be out. I don't want to deal with it. I believe that she felt that way. But at the same time, it's like if you had just maybe just finished the episode, walked the runway, heard the critiques from the judges, then at the end of it, if you still want to go, go. But don't go at the height of this heated argument, because I feel like that's just let yourself calm down first. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think to play devil's advocate to a certain extent, I definitely get that. And I think that there was a moment of like, it's complete. It's like so anticlimactic, because even with the door, we had like it was like a hole stretched out. She's in the workroom. She doesn't want to do the snatch game. She really feels hurt by the judges. They bring Michelle out. They really try to get her to stay. And instead, it's just like, I'm leaving. And they're like, no. And then she goes off set, essentially. And then she gets hugs from a few people and she's like, no, I'm leaving. And that's it. So I feel like we have to wait until Untucked to get that closure. And we, in mm-hmm. the way that we didn't get that with Adore, who left before like the judging and runway and all that kind of stuff, versus Ben, who just like waited for the perfect reality TV moment to do that, which was, you know, in its own way, kind of iconic. Mm-hmm. But I do think, as a devil's advocate point to what you're saying, I truly think that Heidi was seeing the writing on the wall with how her edit is. I think she and others knew that she was really good, that she was really bringing it on the runway in the challenges. She's not getting placed high. She's not getting her critiques the way she wants. And so she knows that from a judge's perspective, what her story is likely going to be. Oh, she's going to be the robbed goddess of the season, or she's going to be the one who's, you know, she's the, you know, just because it's a recent season, she's the Lucy LaDuca who thinks that she should be winning all the time. And that is probably messing with her head. Am I really like this, or am I putting myself on a pedestal? Blah, 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 blah. Someone like Heidi, who we know to be congenial and love herself, but also not egotistical, not like somebody who you think is just always about themselves. She's not full of herself. She's full of confidence, but she's not full of herself.
Yeah.
And I think that having that moment in Untucked and not really being able to process that, having Queens kind of criticize her for that, was kind of the beginning. Then you move to this whole thing and you have Kahana go for you. Then you have Candy come for you. And then Alexis kind of defends you and then turns her back on you.
Yeah.
And it's just like all of that is coming up. And now she's going to be like, okay, production doesn't like me. Now the Queens don't like me. I'm done. This is not who I am. This is not what I want represented on television. I'm leaving. And so I can understand that. And I'm a big person of like setting healthy boundaries for yourself. If it is not working out, it is not worth your mental health. I am somebody that, you know, grew up like you don't quit anything kind of thing. And I'm like, oh, that might be why so many of us have like trauma and issues, is because we weren't allowed to say, I need to put up a boundary and say no to this. So I want to give her massive props for recognizing, hey, this is not healthy for me. In the same way that I felt like that with Adore. And I did not feel like that with Ben, but I love Ben.
I know. I mean, someone has recently made me come around to it. Like, I feel like I've been having like this one-sided battle with Ben De La Creme for fucking 4 years.
She would probably have you like get in line, you know? She'd be like, there's all these other people who feel the same way, you know?
But I agree though, because I feel like I think it is important. Like, yes, it's not great as a viewer to have to watch people leave the competition, especially once, and it always seems to be front runners. You know what I mean? It's never the people that are sort of like, I mean, for lack of a better word, like flopping. You know what I mean? Like, it's,
well, yeah.
Yeah, it's always people that you feel like, oh my God, like, this is a huge loss to this competition. But I think, yeah, it is important to realize, like, look, like, I'm not happy. I don't enjoy this in the way that I thought I did. Like, I need to go. Like, why continue doing something that you're not feeling? Like, that's stupid. Yeah. So,
and that you feel like is ruining your image, ruining your sense of confidence, ruining your drag aesthetic, potentially ruining relationships that are important for your professionalism. And I think, you know, I want to kind of point to something that you sent me. And I know this was also big news this past week, was Evie Oddly now calling out Drag Race as a whole and basically being like, you all get to drive away after making money off of basically terrorizing us, essentially, you know, like you make us question our own craft and our love for it. And don't get me wrong, you provide a platform for so many people, but in doing so, you are also actively hurting those same artists, all for the sake of money and ratings rather than acceptance and love and a queer platform that's genuine.
Yeah. I still can't believe that she had to wait so long to get her winnings. That seems insane to me.
Yeah, that was crazy.
And this one is unverified. I didn't actually look at it, but I was scrolling through the comments and somebody said that they went to a Roscoe's viewing party around the time after All Star 6, and Kylie was there, and she also said that she had to wait some time to get her stuff. So I'm like, what's going on over there? Like, are we managing the money well? Are we following through on our promise to provide these winnings to the you say it every episode, honey, $100,000. Like, where is it? Okay.
Yeah, and where's the makeup? No, I'm just kidding. I actually don't even think they do makeup anymore, right? They're not like, and now a year's supply of Anastasia Beverly Hills. Do they?
So do that.
I honestly skip through the intros now, so I actually have no
idea. I'm pretty sure it's still a lifetime supply of Anastasia Beverly Hills cosmetics. Yeah, I can still hear it in my head.
I don't think it's a lifetime supply, because Anastasia Beverly Hills would be out of business for all. They'd be like all their products being sent. I'm pretty sure it's like a year supply, but
yeah, year supply,
which they don't like. I found this out from Trixie. They actually don't give you like, hey, how you doing? Here's a monthly shipment or whatever. They give you a year supply in one sitting. Like, here's what you should do for a year. And she's like, have you seen my face? Have you seen how much makeup I put on this mug? Like, what? So,
that's funny.
Very funny.
Well, yeah, I mean, I wish Heidi well. I think she seems to be very well adjusted to it. I mean, she was making jokes about it all up until the episode was going to drop. She kept putting the word quit in all of her tweets. So she knew it was going to come, and she seems to have like been at peace with her decision. And I hope that everyone else can just grow to respect it and not be in this years long battle with Heidi in closet like I was with Bendela Grimm, where I just couldn't understand why she was being so, it just felt so self-gratuitous to me when she did it, but it is what it is. Like, it was the same excuse for her. Like, well, not excuse, it was the same reason for her. She just didn't want to do it. She didn't like the way that eliminating, having to eliminate her sisters made her feel. She just could not take the guilt. She wanted out. And
two miscongenialities who have taken themselves out because they don't like the game. So what have we learned here? Lala Ri is quitting next week. No. Okay. Any other thoughts on that before we actually talk about the other aspects of the episode?
No, I think that's it. Heidi will be missed a lot.
Heidi will definitely be missed.
I'm also annoyed because it's like, damn, like this was already turning into the Jimbo show, and now we've lost a big contender. It's like, this is only making it that much easier for her to win the season. Not that she shouldn't deserve it, but it's like at the same time, like give us some level of intrigue. So
yeah, nobody wants to see a steamroll. It's not as much fun. Like, as much fun as we had on season 15, like we all went in thinking like, okay, Sasha Colby's going to win. And obviously she ended up winning, but she had some legitimate competition for her at the end. And that's what was so exciting, is that we all were like, as much of, you know, as much as she deserves this crown, how much of a gag would it be if a Nitra, a Mistress, or Lux had won the crown instead? Like, and they would have deserved it. Like, there's not one of those final four that didn't deserve that. Right. So I think here what we really need to see is somebody else who's going to step up into that role. So I want to know from you before we move on, like, who do you think is like Jimbo's biggest competition?
Well, it's clearly Candy, because Candy is the one that is now, we know, open, well, not openly, but she's gunning for her, because I truly believe what Heidi told, like what Heidi said. She said that shit. So I think Candy is definitely someone to look out for. I guess Alexis Michelle kind of like is creeping up alongside her as well. I mean, she had legitimate cause to win this snatch game, which we'll talk about. And that's all I can kind of really say right now. I really feel like the others are sort of just falling out of it. I don't think, I mean, based off of Kahana's edit so far, even though she has one challenge win, I don't see this for her. And James is sort of just like there. So I'm like, I need to see a little bit more. So right now, definitely just Alexis and Candy Muse.
I see Alexis, Candy Muse, and Jimbo right now as like the biggest contenders. The next tier down for me is Jessica, James, and Lala. And then I feel like it's just Kahana.
Yeah.
On her own. Like, which is unfortunate, because I do think Kahana has had some of the best looks of the season. And I do think that she really has just improved leaps and bounds in how she approaches this competition. So it's not like she's like horrible at the competition. She just doesn't have the strengths in some of the areas that the other queens do. And it's really exciting to see queens like Kahana and James go farther into the competition and really prove themselves and like what they have to offer. So that's
great. I'm glad that she's gotten that chance to really show that part of her drag, because I mean, that's it seems to me Kahana really is one of the All-Star success stories, because a lot of these All-Stars people, they come back, and a lot of the times we like know, okay, they're gonna win. A lot of the people that end up winning are people that were already slaying in their original. So it's really not a message of redemption so much as it is, let me come back and take what was stolen from me to begin with. But at least with someone like a Hana or a James, there is a lot to say, to show. They were gone, James in the first episode, Kahana in the second, and now we've gotten to see these incredible looks from Kahana, and I feel like that reintroduces her to a lot of people. And the same thing with James, like we get to see a little bit more of her campiness. Her personality definitely comes through a lot more in the diary rooms that she gets. So I think that those are two people that are really benefiting from All-Stars 8. I just wish that they were also more of a contender as well.
Yeah. And I think that last week we saw James kind of stumble a little bit, but this week we see her like do incredibly well. So let's talk about the two snatch games. So we are doing the snatch game of love, and this time we have two different bachelors. And so the first group had is Matt Rogers, is his last name Rogers, right?
Yes.
I always want to call him like another Matt, and I don't know why. It's just so many Matts in the world. So you have Matt Rogers as the bachelor for this first group. And this is the group that I think was definitely weaker than the second, mm-hmm. than the second group. Mm-hmm. But we had Heidi and Closet as Blackbeard the Pirate. Blackbeard, I mean, not Blackbird. Blackbeard the Pirate. We had Kahana Montrese as Coco Montrese, her drag mother, and mm-hmm. Drag Race staple. James Mansfield was Jennifer Coolidge. And who was the fourth one? Jessica Wilde.
I forgot
her name too, and I gotta look. Sorry, and you know what? I'm so sorry, y'all. I literally just watched the episode this morning because I'm catching.
She's
up.
Some Puerto Rican. Puerto
Rican.
Puerto Rican icon.
I'm gonna look this up. But
my name, my brain is wanting to say Rita for some reason, but I know it's not Rita. I don't know why I want to say Rita.
Like a second. I'm just gonna look this up. I'm sorry. Okay,
no, we're good.
This is where people are going to be like, come on, guys.
Sorry, I wasn't familiar with her. So her name isn't like, it's not coming back.
No, it's the same thing for me. And to be honest, I did call Blackbeard Blackbird. So there's that. Good times. Okay.
Which I think was an interesting choice for Heidi while you're looking that up.
I feel like
it's definitely one of those, it falls into the bucket of characters that you can kind of like really do anything with. Except I did want her to have more of a pirate's voice. It was kind of just Heidi in a pirate costume. I didn't really get Blackbeard from her. But to her defense, there are also people that sort of are just themselves in another mm-hmm. character, and they tend to do well. So, because to me, like when Silky Nutmeg and Nosh did T.S. Madison, that wasn't really T.S. Madison, that was just Silky being Silky, just dressed as T.S. So some queens can get away with it.
We've had two snatch games from Candy Muse where she's just been Candy Muse. I mean, she had a little bit more of a New York Italian accent instead of a Bronx accent. It felt a little bit more like Brooklyn. So I'll give mm-hmm. her some, you know, I'll give her some props there for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But characterization and everything, like the first time she was Patrick Starr, she was definitely just candy.
But yeah, I think Heidi did a good job. Definitely, I think second to James in that group.
Yeah. Well, and I would say that out of this group, I would have put James as the only person not in the bottom. I feel like if Heidi had stuck around, she would have been the safe bottom queen out of the mm-hmm. rest of them left. For that very reason that you're saying, like, yeah, she did make some jokes and such, but to be honest with you, like, I didn't really get. Why Blackbeard? Like, I wish there had been a story for it, but it's just like, and there wasn't enough like pirate puns for me. Like she did like mm-hmm. the map thing, but like, come on, show me your booty would have been like a really great, easy way to get into a dating show as like a pirate or something. Like, I don't know. I just felt like there was something missing that just kind of made it lackluster. Mm-hmm. So Jessica was Ira Chacon. And I don't know who Iris is. And that is, I can't say whether or not it was a great impression. But it was one note. It was the same thing over and over, which I thought she did really well in the beginning. And I was like, oh my God, yay, Jessica. I'm bringing someone to life and teaching the audience, somebody who maybe somebody doesn't know, like the audience may not know. And I thought she was starting to do that. And then it was just the same thing over and over and over as the joke
mm-hmm.
and it just flopped.
Yeah, it just didn't really go anywhere, and I'll just take RuPaul's word for it because he is a fan of Ida Shakon. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it just doesn't go anywhere, and it's fine. Like it like us not knowing a character doesn't have to impede us from enjoying it.
Correct.
We all know the fabled interpretation of a little Edie, like, you know what I mean? So it's Harriet Tubman.
Not that people know who that is, but like there's a way to bring people to life who we don't know what they actually acted like. So you could do that for people that people do know, but maybe is like not the wide audience watching, mm-hmm. you know, Drag Race, for example. So right. I don't know. I think that, you know, like you said, there's ways to do it. I just felt like she started so strong and then just kind of slowly.
Just didn't go anywhere. And I don't think that she was able to even really interact that much with the rest of the queens either. Yeah. Kahana. I mean, it starts off okay. And she gets a couple of the zingers in there, which I think you definitely have. Those are the gimmies.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just, if I got excited when she was talking to RuPaul in the workroom and she asked if she'd done her before. And she's like, yeah, I actually did do her. And it was one of the times that I really was able to let loose and I was able to just like be free in it. And I think that I think her anxiety just got to her in this and she just got in her head and couldn't figure out how to be free in the way that she was before. I think it just, once again, was also a little one note. Some of the responses just didn't really make much sense. And I think that she really sort of tried to rely on a personality that wasn't hers. And once again, that's sort of like why Snatch Game is so hard and improv is so hard to begin with. It's like, you really have to, yes, you are acting, but there's still like the wit still has to come from you. Like, you have to know what's the funnier thing to say. And I just think that she just sort of relied on the one-liners that we already know and shoehorned them in to her responses as opposed to coming up with organic ones on her own.
Yeah, I think that she definitely had moments where she sounded exactly like Coco. And I was like, ooh, I love this. This is a good impression. Mm-hmm. I felt like choosing to do Coco for the, you know, famous mirror, like, I'm not joking, bitch moment. Like, I think that was great. But the fact that that's like what her whole makeup and costume was based around really limited what you could do with Coco. Because Coco has, I mean, was wonderful in Confessions in season 5. I mean, fantastic. Mm-hmm. And like in an Untucked and had her whole thing against Alyssa and like all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Right. And it ended up feeling like she was channeling Coco at first, and then she started saying something. Didn't she say something like little girl or something like that? Like, she called somebody little girl or little boy or something like that. And then I was like, are we channeling Tamisha Amon now? I feel like if what's so tricky about doing a drag queen is if you know that drag queen intimately, translating it to who the television audience knows and loves. And what we got was really one dimensional for somebody who I think was a pretty dynamic personality and could have been talking about her amazing Janet Jackson impersonations or could have been bringing out all these other things that the audience probably knows instead of just like, I don't know, sassy Coco. I don't know. I felt like you like said, it was just a little one note. And I appreciated the effort. But I felt like she kind of unfortunately limited herself, which I think affected her performance.
Yeah, it just didn't really have anywhere to go after a while. And of course, like, I mean, and just some of the responses, there was no one laughed.
Yeah.
Which is, of course, was like an open opportunity for Heidi to try to be like, you know, like, let's have a little fun here because it's like crickets right now. So
I know. And I was actually expecting if anybody was going to hop in and dogpile on Kahana, it was going to be James as Jennifer Coolidge and be like, that's not a joke, dumbass, or something like that. I mean, would have been fantastic. Or be like, I think these gays are trying to kill me. Like, it would have been so many. I mean, I don't even know if that line would have been out by the time they were filming this.
Yeah, so I was trying to think about that, too. Yeah.
I don't think that White Lotus season 2 is out at that point. But regardless, let's talk about James. So James does Jennifer Coolidge, which I've been waiting for years. Like, I feel like she's such a... It's not that she's easy to impersonate, but she's like so iconic to like the queer community. Everybody knows her. There's so many lines and move from movies that you can just say and roll off the cuff. And she did that, but she also was able to improv really quickly. And I think this is where we're seeing what we missed out in season 9 with James.
Yeah, for sure. I liked it too. She definitely had like the mannerisms down. The accent, like her, like the impersonation, sometimes it leaned a little bit more just into James a little bit.
She kind of lost the voice sometimes and then it would come back, you know?
Yeah, it was like very Because I think part of it is because, like, the James Mansfield character is in a lot of ways very similar. So I feel like sometimes he kind of just forget that he's supposed to be Jennifer and not James. Yeah. But it was definitely a really strong performance. I kind of wanted there to be two winners for this challenge. Yeah. I wanted, because I was like,
get
James to have a win on the board, like, and shake some things up. But then I guess, does that mean that two queens go home? I don't know.
I mean,
which, yeah, they could have, because
they could have done that. It would have only really been one elimination, but yeah,
exactly. So yeah, I think that she did a really good job, and I was, yeah, this is what we missed out on when someone goes home so soon. So
I loved it. I thought she did a great job. Jennifer Coolidge is somebody I've been wanting to see, and it gives me an excuse to talk in a Jennifer Coolidge like voice. So I was here for it, and thought she did a great job. She ultimately does win that group. Because I think it's kind of common knowledge now that whoever gets chosen by The Bachelor is kind of the one that The Bachelor thought did the best job of playing Snatch Game. It's not like who The Bachelor actually wanted to, quote unquote, fall in love with. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, as we see, if we're doing it by that, James would have gotten second place in this episode.
Definitely. For sure.
So then we have the second group that has Bowen Yang from SNL, who is the bachelor. And this group was so all over the place that I was thoroughly enjoying it. First, we have Alexis Michelle, who was Bea Arthur, iconic. It was so, so good. And then we have Candy Muse, who was Renee Graziano from Mob Wives,
Which I've never seen, but I feel like I get the gist.
Yeah, and that's how I felt too. I was like, I haven't seen Mob Wives, but I've also, you know, I think we all have an idea of what's happening there. Lala Reid did Sukihana, and I don't know who that is. So I will be 1,000% that I am just going off of how Lala did it, volleying and all that kind of stuff for this. And then we have Jimbo as Shirley Temple. Amon, where do you even want to start with this group?
I mean, when she said that she was going to be Shirley Temple, who is a child going into Snatch Game of Love, I was like, how is she going to be able to figure that out? But I think that she handled it well. I think that she really poked fun about someone trying to pick up a 10-year-old girl.
I'm going to be honest with you, Amon. I think with this show, when it comes to Snatch Game, I often chuckle a couple of times, right? Mm-hmm. With Lucy LaDuca's Joan Rivers, I actually laughed out loud one time. I was dying at Jimbo doing the tap dancing and like, you're a sicko voice and her facial expressions and everything. Like, it was so psychotically amazing that I just loved it. And I felt like there's no way anybody was going to be able to steal this away from her. I don't know. Do you feel like it was that good for you? Or are you kind of like, okay, Beth?
No. I think she did a really good job. I think she got the mannerisms down, and then she just added a little bit of cracked out Jimbo energy to just really spice it up. So I think, yeah, there really wasn't any way that anyone else is going to top that. I think, yes, there's a case that can be made for Alexis Michelle, but I think it's not a fault of Alexis's acting. It's a fault of the character. I think it's just when you put Bea Arthur next to cracked out Shirley Temple, it's always going to go to cracked out Shirley Temple. Like, it's just your Bea Arthur is just a little bit too reserved, whereas this little girl is over here tap dancing all over the fucking stage. So it's like
tap dancing in quotations.
And then the other two just sitting there in the middle, just like, it, you know. And Candy actually, Candy made me laugh too. I was pleased to see that Candy did pretty well. And, you know, I don't really know too much about Sukihana, but I mean, I feel like Lala was decent with the character. There were a few quips in there, a few one-liners in there. Definitely, as one of the judges said, the stronger of the two groups.
Yeah.
So, Jimbo got this one for sure.
Yeah. Do you think that Lala benefited from being in that group? Do you think that Lala could have had a case for being in the bottom had she been like in the other group?
Potentially, like if we had switched her out with someone like James Mansfield, yeah, for sure. But I don't know about bottom because
yeah, I think she would have been a safe bottom.
Yeah, she would have been safe. Yeah, safe bottom. Yeah, for sure.
I felt like she when I watched it, my initial response was I felt like Heidi was a little stronger in terms of jokes. But Lala seemed to have a better character. Mm-hmm. But I also kind of felt like maybe Lala was just also being herself. Like I could, like there were so many confusion things that I kind of was like, I could have seen Heidi or Lala take that safe third bottom spot. Right. But I do think that because she was, I thought that she was actually going to be in the bottom because she was in the stronger group. I actually think if she had been in the other group, it would have actually helped her. And if she and Heidi had switched places. And then I think that also would have helped Heidi, too, because I think Heidi wanted to volley with people. And you have Alexis, Candy and Jimbo who all want to volley with people. And I felt like Lala would have been better with a group that wasn't volleying as much and could have stood out a little bit more. But regardless, I don't know too much about Sukiana, but I thought that Lala had a few quips, like you said, and I thought she did a pretty good job. I thought that Candy did, like you said, like there was a moment where I was like, when she did the a fucking whore, like line, like right in front, like what do you look at, you know, contestant three, and what do you see there? A fucking whore. That was pretty good, and I liked that. But for the rest of it, it just felt like, to be honest, just being an aggressive New Yorker.
Yeah.
I'm just like,
gut you like a fish, just yeah, mob shit.
Gut you like a fish. And I'm going to be honest, Pearl was funnier when she did Big Ange. you know, like I thought this. I'm very excited. That's my impersonation of Pearl doing Big Ange. So that's like a. So I felt like when I compare it to other people who have done like, well, I guess it's really only Big Ange, who was like this like over the top New Yorker. That's kind of who I kind of have to give the edge to Pearl there. So
may she rest in peace, Big Ange.
Oh, I thought you meant Pearl. I was like,
oh no.
I was like, what? Breaking news. I didn't
breaking
know
news.
No, but Big Ange, yes, rest in peace. So let's talk about Alexis Michelle, because you said that you felt like there was a case to be made that she could have been in the top.
Yeah. Or
won the job.
Yeah. She knew all of the right things to say. And, RuPaul just could not get enough of it. Clearly.
Yeah.
It was the right choice for, you know, giving the Golden Girls fan a golden girl. And yeah, I just felt like, and she was able to just really be on off the cuff, like her acting skills really came through here. Sometimes I did feel like it was a little bit like a little bit of Alexis in there too. But I think that the jokes really make up for any of like the acting falling out a little bit. So yeah, I think if Jimbo were not there, she clearly would have won. I was kind of hoping that those two would get separated because they are the ones that are sort of like known for acting.
Yeah. I felt like what's so hard for Alexis in this moment is that Bea Arthur is an incredible comedian. And remember last week when I said the straight man in comedy is often like you have to be an incredibly funny person. Bea Arthur was the quintessential straight man who had like side comments and quips, but was for all intents and purposes was the most normal one. On Golden Girls, right? So it was always like, oh, well, Blanche is the whore and, you know, Rose is like ditzy and flaky and she's the one that kind of keeps them all together, right? But with that came with a dry wit and those kind of things. And I just kind of felt like that puts Alexis at a disadvantage when you have someone like you. I'm going to use this cracked out Shirley Temple, which, by the way, sounds like a really horrible
end to her career.
That's not even where I was going. But you're so right. Oh, the headline sort of cracked out Shirley Temple at the end
cracked
of her career.
Cracked out Shirley Temple. New documentary airing on Hulu. Yeah.
Oh my God. Or it sounds, what I was going to say, it sounds like somebody trying to make the non-alcoholic drink like like outrageously alcoholic.
A real dirty Shirley.
I'm going to have a cracked out Shirley Temple. It's like, oh, okay. You want the Long Island tea or iced tea of it. But anyway. My God, that really got me a month. I just felt like she couldn't compete with that energy.
Yeah.
You know, when you are playing a character whose comedy is to be lower energy, when you have somebody who is so over the top and the name of the game is one up each other, mm-hmm. that creates a little bit of limitation. So I agree with you. I think if she had been in the other group, I would have loved to see Bea Arthur and Jennifer Coolidge like talking.
That'd have been fun.
That would have been incredible. But I think that she had the mannerisms down. And I know what you say about Alexis, like having herself in the character a little bit. But I'm going to put out there, I think Alexis has just taken on some of these like quintessential icons from.
It's morphed into her.
She has like moved. Like she really does represent like every theater gay I've ever known. In addition to like every diva comedian, and like it's just like all of that combined into like one person who's just like a little over the top and a slightly delusional, but like also can back it up with talent. So it's just kind of hard to like swallow that sometimes. So I don't know. I felt like when I watched it, I was like, yeah, I could see Alexis in this, but it also just kind of feels like maybe she just has taken on a lot of Bea Arthur in her life.
What came first, the Alexis Michelle or the Bea Arthur?
Yeah, who came first here? Oh, God, goodness. Well, like we say, in this episode, Jimbo does end up winning with Alexis and James both in the top, and then they only had a bottom two. There wasn't a safe, like, third bottom, which I thought was interesting. So Jessica Wilde and I was going to say in James Mansfield. No, definitely not James. And Kahana Montrese find themselves in the bottom two. And it brings us to the lip sync assassin with Jimbo. What were your thoughts? Were you thinking, Jimbo, what are you going to do this time?
Wait, All-Stars is, well, actually, never mind. I was about to say All-Stars is, you know, the final thing is a lip sync. And if she ends up being in the end, she's definitely not going to win no matter who she's up against, clearly. But at the same time, Jinx totally got murdered by Monet and still won the season. So,
well, remember right before they lip sync, RuPaul said, remember, I will be taking into consideration the entire season. My decision. And it was like, okay, well, thank you for finally saying that out loud, which is something we all knew. Like, y'all know I love Trixie. Trixie lost to Kennedy. I'm sorry. Like, I mean, Kennedy slayed that lip sync, and Trixie, God love her, deserved the win for the season, but definitely did not win that lip sync, in my opinion.
No, not at all. Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know what it is with Jimbo. Like, she's just, if she better hope that there is not a week where it's a lip sync challenge, like, because.
Well, next week, Amon, is the Rusical. So I don't know, are they recording and then lip syncing their voices, or are they actually going to, it sounds look like they're recording
and then they'll just lip sync afterwards, but that is like, that has more structure, you know what I mean, as opposed to like a lip sync. It's just sort of like all off the cuff, like what you want to do, and the girl is already almost about to trip on a fucking feather.
She tripped in the first 2 seconds of the song.
And the moment Jasmine Kennedy came out, I mean, it was like, all right, well,
opened it up, and it was Jasmine Kennedy, and I was like, they better hope it's a Shirley Temple song, and like the reveal is that she just turns into Shirley Temple, like
that. Is like, I feel like RuPaul just keeps padding Jimbo's pocket with wins, but will not give her the money because she's going to end up winning the season anyway.
Yeah, really. Maybe Have we considered that maybe Jimbo is the reason why these queens are getting paid on time? She just like keeps pushing off like RuPaul's bankroll and like yeah. World of Wonders bankroll until finally they're like, okay, we finally can cash this out and give it to our winner from 4 years ago.
Or it's underhanded strategy on Jimbo's end. She's like, Ooh. Look, I purposefully threw those lip syncs so that you guys could get the money.
For three seasons. Yeah, I threw this lip sync. Oh, man. But Jasmine Kennedy looks so gorgeous. That whole outfit was just stunning on her.
She did. I really feel like she came back to murder and slay. She was like, look, y'all, like, I went home on the lip sync episode, even though I know I'm one of the best lip syncers out there. Let me come here and show y'all exactly what I do. And She did. She was flipping and tricking and ducking and diving and Cirque du Soleil-ing and all sorts of shit. And
you know what? And I love when RuPaul said, Jasmine Kennedy, you're a winner, baby. And she was like, wait, can you say that again? I haven't heard that before.
Yeah.
You know, and I loved that moment. I would be so shocked if we don't see Jasmine Kennedy on like All Stars 9 or 10. Like, oh, I just feel like she's going to be somebody that they bring back soon, I think. Mm-hmm. And, you know, especially now that she is so much more confident in her gender identity. And I think that that's just going to be reflected, I mean, in her art. So I'm excited to hopefully see her back. I got to look up when she's performing in New York and then try to catch her. So,
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. Anything else that we didn't discuss about the episode?
We unfortunately did not pull the looks for episode. Yeah. So we don't have any visuals for the podcast, but I mean, I guess we can talk about a few of our favorites. Mm-hmm. It was the As the World Turns category.
That was last week.
I'm confusing that with it's Reveal Yourself.
Reveal Yourself.
Reveal Yourself.
Yes.
I conflated the two because some of the As Your World Turns had ass reveals. So Lala Reese didn't really have a reveal. It was just a cape. It was like a scarf that she just took off.
You know what it reminded me of? It was a way better Alaska like transformation where she was like the
camera dress
thing, and then Alyssa Edwards. Oh. Well, I mean, but same thing. Okay, it was a way better like looking outfit at the end of the day. Although I'm a defender of the camera dress, though. I really like
the camera dress too.
I liked that back in the season. But no, I'm in Alaska's reveal into Little Pound Cake was amazing, but the first thing was not a look, and I felt like Lala was a look. But it was barely a reveal. So I just kind of was like, okay. Yeah. So I felt like if they were really taking both things into consideration, I also felt like I could have seen a case for Lala in the bottom.
Jimbo, I mean, look. The girl's crazy. Okay. Like, just completely crazy. This Adam and Eve juxtaposed costume thing with an apple that comes out of the apple on the groin that pops out a snake, and just like, where do you even come up with an idea?
And the mold of her face as like a boy, like as like the Adam thing. First of all, when she came out, I was like, why does she look like that? Like, what does she do to her face? And then I saw it was like bobbing like this, and I was like, what the hell's wrong with her neck? I just did not catch that was like absolutely not her face until she turned around. So the full effect was brought on me, and I can promise you all, I was sober while I watched it. So know that somebody was fooled by it out there. I don't know if anybody else was, but I
liked Alexis's, except it just sort of like, I've seen Into the Woods so many times and I've seen that reveal so many times. So it's like, to me, it's just like, I'm sure to someone who hasn't seen it, they're like, oh, okay. But to me, I was like, okay, I've seen this over and over again, but it was a good look.
She had I think this is her look from like 2014. Where she won a pageant in New York City with that, where she starts off singing a witchy song and then transforms and sings a completely different song and won. But she had a different dress on. It was pink. So I think the first part was her real reveal. Well, like, what was the same one? But she revealed into a different dress. And I thought it was interesting to go for a look that doesn't really tell us who you are. It's supposed to be reveal yourself or real, like, I don't know. I felt like the second look didn't give me Alexis. It gave me Alexis doing something cool, but not like Alexis Michelle. Like, I would have gone for a fully pageanted princess look and not like the creepy eye thing. I don't know.
Yeah. It was so awkward when James, she had a bunch of reveals that sort of just like, you know, made her more sexier and sexier and sexier. She pulled them off. And during the critiques, Michelle was like, around here, it's not a really good fit. And she's like, I lost weight. And she was like, yay. But yeah, you should have done something else. Like, Michelle.
I'm telling you, like, Michelle Visage is, I don't even think she was trying to be shady in that moment.
I knew she didn't, but it was just like that. Oh, that
girl. Oh my God. That was. That was shame.
Yay, but she still should have hemmed it up. I was like,
yay, so proud of you. Come on, girl. Step it up. I don't think we can talk about looks without talking about Kahana Montrese and the Vegas showgirl look. It looked fantastic. Yeah. The only thing for me was that I just felt like it was one Vegas showgirl into a second, slightly skimpier Vegas showgirl. It wasn't a huge transformation. But it does show me who Kahana is. But I thought, oh my God, does she look amazing? She's my crush this season. I'm telling
she
you.
She does. She look good, baby. She look real good.
Any other? Yeah, exactly. Any other looks that you want to discuss?
No, I think that's it for me. I'm sad that Heidi's gone.
Yeah.
And I hope that there is like some kind of like cool rush to the finish. I mean, I think we by now we can kind of see who's probably going to be in the end. But as long as it's like a fight to get there, I'm fine with it. Like, Candy, if you want to talk that shit and try to get Jimbo out, I want to see it happen. I want to see you win a challenge first. How about that? So
wow, I'm on with there. I want to see you win a challenge first, then you can talk shit. Oh my God, that's funny. Yes, in the words of RuPaul, I can't wait to see how this turns out. So next week it's a Rusical. I believe that they're recording lyrics. Although it would be great. Maybe they're not. I can't remember. Y'all, my mind is so jumbled. They might be singing live. It's one of the two, but it's a Rusical. So we got that.
I feel like I definitely saw in the trailer that they were recording.
I thought they were recording too. But then I also thought maybe they were singing live. I don't know. It's a whole thing.
We'll see.
So next week will be a Rusical. Who do you think is going to do well in that?
Alexis Michelle.
Mm-hmm.
Probably Jimbo as well.
I think James.
Oh yeah, James. Yeah, I'm sure James will be doing pretty well as well. Kahana obviously is a toss up. Well, not really. She's not going to do well. She's probably going to go home next week.
Wow. Oh my gosh.
Probably out of here. Okay. Yeah. So
we're gonna. Yeah. Prepare our hearts to say goodbye to Kahana next week, but be surprised if it's somebody else. Great. Well, Aman, there are other drag shows on right now that I have not had a chance to see. I don't know. Have you watched
Drag Me to Dinner? No, I haven't seen it yet. I watched The View the other day, and with Neil Patrick Harris, because it's him and his husband that are producing it, right?
And hosting it. With Bianca Del Rio. And it's what a trio that is.
Yeah, so I got to see a couple of clips of it, and it does look like a good time. So I'll definitely have to look it up, and we'll talk about it on the show once we've all seen it.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're going to look forward to breaking some of that down here on the Drag Race podcast, at least the first episode or two. And if we really like it, then who knows? Maybe we'll throw in a little Drag Me to Dinner recap at the very end of our Drag Race recaps. Queen of the Universe is also back for season two, which is the drag American Idol, essentially. I don't know. Have you watched that before, Aman?
I watched like the pilot episode, but we're so inundated with singing competition shows these days that I kind of just, I've sort of retired from them.
I felt the same way. I've just been so incredibly stressed and busy with work and other things right now that like the idea of just watching something else is just like a lot of mental energy. Yeah. But Queen of the Universe is one I really want to get back into watching. It has a pretty amazing guest or judges on there. You have like Vanessa Williams, Trixie Mattel is on there, like which is great. Michelle Visage, and then who's the fourth one? I'm forgetting.
I'm not sure either.
Oh my gosh!
I saw Jada Essence on there, but I think she might have been competing. So never mind.
Oh. Here we are. Yeah. But anyway, so there's lots of options out there to be watching drag. And if you have any opinions on them, feel free to send them our way. Aman, where can people find you and what are you up to?
You can find me everywhere at Aman Adwin. Nothing to promote at the time. Kind of just sitting here waiting for Big Brother to start. We got 2 months.
Got a couple months. and you can catch me on all my social medias at AugustaWind11. I also really have nothing to promote right now, so feel free to just follow us on our socials and get in touch there. Thank you to the entire crew of the RHAP background team for all the hard work that you do to push out all of our podcasts.
And yes, everybody, just go outside and have a fantastic summer. Summer's starting to heat up.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I'm just like a message that's on my heart. Like I was out with during Pride yesterday, which is like so nice to just be out and the sun is shining. And it just does the body good and the mind good to just get outdoors and just like talk to people and meet people and be friendly and be kind and just.
And get some vitamin D.
Get some vitamin D.
And then get some vitamin D if you're into that.
And get some vitamin D, okay?
Since you're a resident asexual. Hey, happy Pride, of course, to all. And if you have the capacity.
All the gays and the girls and the gays.
The gays, and everything in between. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. And also if you have the ability to show up and support for your local LGBTQIA plus centers or national organizations, obviously we're at a pretty dire time for trans rights in our country, drag bans, all these different kinds of things that are anti-LGBTQIA plus legislation. So this Pride means more than ever. Go out, support. If you're an ally, be vocal. All that fun stuff. And it's the beginning of the month. And if you aren't a patron, we highly encourage you to become one. So feel free to go to patreon.com/RHAP and you will be able to join us there. Wonderful, wonderful benefits for doing so. All right. Mm-hmm. Thank you all so much. And we will catch you next week with Liana back in tow. And until then, I hope you have a wonderful rest of your week. Bye.